Yep, you can show me a few things, and then we'll start the conversation.
Okay.
Let me just get my little notebook of questions.
Well, I happen to have three of my favorite plants here. That's for sure.
Yeah.
That guy right there, the tall one, with the wispy little leaves and the black pot. It's called an Apiculicaria.
Okay.
It's from
here. I want you to talk to me here. Sorry. I got it. That's okay. So tell me, you were in your apartment, your very large and interesting old apartment in downtown Champaign.
Yeah, a lot of space.
And there are, I mean, there are quite a few plants here. You say it's paltry, but there are several things here. So can you describe what we're looking at?
Yeah, I've scaled down my plants when I moved here from Chicago, and I just have my favorite plants right now, pretty much. One of my favorite plants, I call her Eva. She's a tall Apiculicaria plant. And you can repot that plant every year and expose its weird little knotted root ball. And that's why I like it. I have a couple air plants. They're not really super engaging right now. They're just hanging out. They used to have lots of brothers and sisters, but I gave them away as gifts when I moved down, and I kept the ugly ones. But because they're not so pretty, that's kind of why I love them. I love that carrion plant over there and the little red storm pot. It's a little baby, but when it grows up, it's going to make a really beautiful, almost like feed me Seymour kind of pod flower. And it's going to open up and be really pretty. And you're going to stick your nose in it, and it's going to smell like rotting meat. And I like that because it's a pretty plant, and it's got a lot of good architecture going on. There's a Sansevieria cylindrica and the other little storm pot. I like it because it's basically related to the super common plant called a mother-in-law's tongue that everyone knows about. Like, there's one over there. But it's
an office staple, mother-in-law's tongue, you see in every office building, I think.
Yeah, because you can water them. You can get away with watering them once every 3 weeks. And a lot of people, offices, malls, you know, the visiting room at the doctor's office, that's why they're there. What's really cool about Sansevierias, though, and one of the reasons I have that one next to my bed, is they release oxygen at night. So you can get, like, ideally you'd get a lot of them in your room, in your bedroom, and you'd get a little oxygen treatment. I mean, plants release oxygen all the time, but they do it at night, which is kind of odd and weird. So I kind of call them bedroom plants. But the cylindrica is just, it's spiky. It's super cool. And they can get, like, 4 feet tall. I've had them for a long time, and I try to keep them in low, medium light because I don't want them to grow too fast. You can always move things around and dictate how fast they grow. That's a cotton candy fern. They're really hard to care for normally, but all that really means is you need to just put some moisture around them every once in a while. And I mean, it does look like a little tuft of cotton candy, and it's really fun. And it's a cool little plant, but the one next to it is actually, I skipped everything. My favorite plant is called Pilea depressa, and it's that little creeper down there. It's a ground cover and it's native tropical environment. But it's got little waxy leaves and it holds lots of water. So even though it looks really dainty and everything, you can just water that once every 8 or 9 days. And I think it's a great office plant because it's low light. And the lower the light, the slower it grows. So if you put it in full sun and in a really big pot, it'll fill it up real soon. It doesn't get tall, though. It just creeps along. Those are some of my favorite plants. Yeah, that's a salmon was shipped to Black Dog in that. That's the bottom half. And we get those once a week, and I'm actually going to start keeping them. It's a very tight styrofoam container. It's a little square or a slight rectangle. Some styrofoam you can't plant in because it's very porous. But if you ever pick up styrofoam that has any, is it concave when it does the little? So if it has any kind of planting base in it, and it's a tight weave, or I guess you wouldn't call it a weave, but it's very tight. You can even pour water in there and let it sit for a day just to see, like, this is going to work. You should plant in. I believe you can plant in anything. And I have nice little, those are Danish planters there, the storm pots I was talking about. I like them. They were expensive. They're great. But I like the styrofoam as well, or your plastic to-go cup here from the cafe. I planted 65 little baby succulents in 65 little plastic cups that I kept all winter with the sole purpose of reusing them, and kind of instead of putting them in the recycling bin, which is super cool, that takes energy to recycle. It's just like, why not make it a planter And, you know, I planted succulents because it won't all be super wet and ooey-gooey. I mean, put rocks on the bottom, succulent soil. And a little baby succulent would live in that for a couple of years before you need to replant it. And people really liked that idea at this at a fundraising event we did. So, yeah, you can plant in anything.
That's awesome. So let's just talk about your background. Like, why where you come from, how long you've been interested in this kind of stuff, and you know, maybe just trace. You mentioned Chicago, and maybe you know, get all the way up to that point. You've lived here off and on for as long as I've lived here.
I'm from Champaign-Urbana. Plants. My mom had a lot of tropical plants growing up, and we used to water them on Wednesdays. It was watering Wednesday. I now know that you don't water every single plant on every specific on a specific day, but my mom happened to have a bunch of tropicals that needed watering once a week. There are some plants that need watering more often. I am not talking about where I'm from. I'm from here. I'm from Champaign-Urbana. I went away to college in the Olympia, Washington, to go to the Evergreen State College in like 1992. I was out there for 7 years. I fell in love with moss, fell in love with Mount Rainier, fell in love with the smell of low tide. Kind of got into punk music a little bit then, even though I started DJing hip-hop music there. I loved it. It was really good. That shaped me. I don't think my degree or my education at the Evergreen State College shaped me as much as moving from Champaign-Urbana to Olympia, Washington, and just meeting new people and doing what you do when you meet new people. I was there for a while, and I missed home, moved back to Champaign-Urbana, DJed, got fat, worked at Dandelion, bartended, was kind of a small-town rock star in a really silly way as far as a DJ can be, and did that for like 7 years, and I realized I needed to do something, and why not try the big city of Chicago? I used to make fun of people that moved to Chicago from Champaign because it's like, come on, try harder. You just went to Chicago. But, whoa, I did it, and I loved it. I was there for almost 9 years and had a couple jobs that I did not like very much at all. And I used to walk by this garden center in the Ukrainian village called Sprout Home, and I would just walk by, and I'd see people out there watering plants. I mean, once I remember seeing this woman who ended up being the owner, but I didn't know it at the time. I walked by, and I saw her holding a Heineken in one hand and a garden hose in the other. And I was like, I want to work there. Because at the time it was spring, and I worked in the shipping department at an ethnobotanical warehouse, and I did not like that at all. So I went in and I asked for a job, and they hired me like a week later, and I was hired because I was a big strong guy who could go plant trees and carry rock.
And so were they a like a landscaping place too? It wasn't just interiors, exteriors.
It was definitely, when you walked by Sprout Home, it was a garden center full on. People would just stop without even knowing what it was to walk through like the jungle of the yard. Trees, shrubs, perennials, herbs, you know, and then of course your typical piles of mulch and rock and all that stuff. And a lot of really great, interesting, big containers and stuff. And I liked it a lot. But then I started moving things around inside the store, and I started taking care of the tropical plants inside, even though I wasn't asked to. And the owner one day was just like, "You're kind of better inside than you are outside." And I was like, "I know, I can do window displays and make vignettes, and I can do all this stuff." And I soon became a store manager and was ordering plants and teaching customers about tropical plants, which is something I really love. I love showing people that plants are easy. You'd always hear, you hear it now, even from friends who talk about, I'm talking about opening the store or whatever, and, "Oh, I wish I could have a plant. I just can't because I kill them." That's like not just a challenge, but it's super fun to be like, no, there's a lot of plants you can have. Let's talk about where you want it. Oh, you want it against that wall where there's not very much light? There's like 10 plants you can put there. Or you have a sunny window and you don't want to water things ever, let's get you a lot of succulents. We can plant them all in a long container, and we'll get you baby succulents because they're going to grow with you and grow with your plant skills. And next thing you know, you're going to have a lot of big succulents. And I grew this jade plant. It's really big now. I love that. I love the idea of teaching people that plants are easy. Plants can be your friends. Plants can be your little pets. They can be your kids. They can be a lot of different things. To me, they just ease my mind. And I think a lot of people don't know that about plants, but they realize it after they've had them for a while.
Can you talk about that a little bit more, like just about human coexistence with
sure. growing things for food.
Sure.
So functionality is a high priority with some of the things that I write about, but I also really do understand the relationship between humans and plants for not just decoration, but like you said, there's a psychological component to it, the oxygen being released from a plant at night, other things. Can you talk about that?
I can, not from any kind of research basis, and I'm sure that a lot of that has been done, and there's someone who could be like, well, there's this, this, and this, come on. But just from my experience and what I feel, they're just, it's a living entity in your home, and you're caring for it, and you have a relationship you develop with that plant. Sounds kind of hippy-dippy, but I guess I kind of have a little of that in me. And when you care for something that's kind of small, like whether you buy it at a great little boutique plant shop or Lowe's or whatever, you know, 5 years can go by and they grow so slowly often that you kind of don't notice that they're growing. But then you look back and you remember when you picked up that plant and it was in a little 4-inch pot and you've repotted it 5 times and it's 6 feet tall and its oxygen rate is definitely higher now. And the oxygen thing, I do believe they don't just kick out oxygen. Plants remove toxins. You can just Google, you know, top 5 toxin removing plants, and NASA has done research on this, and it's just like, yep, you should probably have those in your house. Appliances in the kitchen kick off toxins. We don't know that. Paint that's even been dry for 5 years is still kicking off toxins. There's just your bathroom, all the product. I mean, not myself, but a lot of people have a lot of product in their bathrooms. I mean, it's a weird, funky, toxic bath that you're taking all the time, and we need all the help in, I think, modern society to kind of counter that. I'm not going to say you should get 5 plants and you're going to be totally fine. But, I mean, every little bit probably helps, I would think, in the long run. And then there's just the gorgeousness of plants. I mean, I think it feels nice to look at the big round leaves of that Umbrella Scephalaria. And it's a jungle plant. And it's probably 5 feet tall now, which is small in relation to where it comes from. But it's got these big cascading round leaves that are nice. The Apiculicaria that I told you, the one I called Eva, dainty little leaves, so delicate, and the structure, I mean, it's like a savanna tree, but it's only 2 feet tall. And air plants are amazing. Like I said, I've got, like, not some very attractive ones at the moment. But, I mean, I believe air plants are really great because they're epiphytic. They just make little roots in the wild. They would just attach onto the root of another, or the bark of another tree, and get their nutrients that way. But they flower. They come in, there's hundreds of species of air plants. You know, people just see the same 5 all the time. But, I mean, that's one of the things when I get my retail shop going, I'm super excited about, like, flooding Champaign-Urbana with air plants, you know. Thinking of just gifting them to all the shops in downtown Champaign and Urbana. Just like, hey, I'm this. Here's a plant. That's right. There's no dirt. You do need to mist it every once in a while. Or you can just not mist it and just soak it in water for, like, 15 minutes once a week. And it'll pull all the water it needs, you know.
Have you worked with somebody who came to you, maybe at Sprout, or maybe even here, who's like, okay, I don't know anything about plants, I need help, and they become, like, really into it? Have you seen that interest develop in other people?
Definitely. At Sprout, it was probably mostly with outdoor gardening. A lot of people with small little balconies who wanted to grow tomatoes and wanted to grow things. I saw a lot of people just dive into gardening. Indoor plants, I'd say the biggest phenomena where I just saw people just explode with, like, an insane, I love this, I love this, I love this, it was always with succulents and cactus. You can just buy so many varieties that are in just little 2-inch pots, and they're really inexpensive. And we had these customers, and I have friends to this day that I would call, like, they just became collectors. They started by buying 3 $2 little plants because they had a sunny windowsill. And then they realize, oh, on Thursdays, that's when the new shipment of succulents show up. And they would show up every Thursday and buy 3 or 4 more. And then they'd start to post pictures on the Facebook pages or just send them directly to the store of, like, I love you guys, look at this. And we'd be like, holy cow, you've got 25 little baby succulents, like, all over your windowsill. And people create different ways to have them if they only have one window, you know. You can create little shelving systems and such. Science. Yeah, there's so much science and, you know, geometry and architecture in your average succulent. My dog's having a dream behind me. It's kind of freaky. Yeah, and they do like the fact, you know, a lot of people who feel like they can't take care of a fern because it'll dry out really quickly, and we're just like, oh, just mist it once a week or twice a week, and they're like, I can't do that. Yeah, they need to have a succulent or sansevieria or even a rubber tree, which is a big tropical plant with similar to succulents, big thick leaves that hold water. I mean, I don't want to just say you have to always get a plant with big thick leaves that holds water because it's easy. There's a lot of like little dainty looking plants that are also really easy. That's a ficus. It's a fig ficus right behind that one with the round leaves. Those leaves are almost leathery. They look really dainty and everything, but they're leathery little guys, and you're going to hurt that plant by overwatering it. And that's the thing with succulents too. A lot of people would buy, not to jump around, but people will buy succulents and cool, I'd barely have to water it. But what would happen is they'd send us pictures or come in with their little wilted succulent and they would overwater it. There's a lot of nurturers out there that just, even though we'll say you should, hey, in the deep of winter, December through February, you should really definitely only water this once a month. And even then, pinch the leaves, make sure that it's a little limp and ready for water. We'd give them the little signs and they just, oh, but I want to water it. You know, I need to water it. And while I'm watering my fern, which I water every 5 days, I just gave it a little bit of water and yeah, that's gardening. Yeah. I mean, you're not really going to eat anything that you can grow inside. You can grow some tropicals, some Meyer lemons, things like that, little citrus plants that you can just keep in a sunny window all the time, and you can actually get fruit from it. But, I mean, I'm tending to these little plants, and this is my little garden, and it's a different kind of bounty that I get from it, you know?
Yeah.